Bible with you tonight, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Normally when we think about Luke chapter 2, we're talking about the story of Christ's birth. Automatically, when I hear somebody say Luke 2, that's what I think of. But there's 52 verses in that chapter. Just as a side note, we ought to be able to count that chapter for two chapters on Sunday morning. Or three. So there's really a lot that's tucked into this one chapter. There's a section of this that we can probably read over it without any alarm. But if we stop to think about it, at least for myself, it's alarming to me. You say, alarming? Luke 2? What could be alarming in Luke chapter 2? Well, let's read a portion of it. See if you might understand what I mean. Beginning with verse number 41 of Luke's Gospel chapter 2. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. The commentary writer said that probably it was just his dad, just Joseph, that went. That's all that was required. I would have to argue with that commentator. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year. How simple is that? Pastored a man in Evansville that said that commentary writers are commentators. Commentators. Some of you don't get that later, maybe. Verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. The most unlikely person in all of the world was the first to lose him. Doesn't that startle you to think that Mary could have somehow lost her child? How many of you have ever been in the store, a crowded Walmart, or in the mall, and you thought your child was right there beside you only to realize that they had stayed back or had wandered off? And boy, the tongue lashing that they got when you found them. Don't you ever do that to me again. You stay right here beside me. Someone could pick you up. Someone could take you home with them. And then I wouldn't have you anymore. We put all kinds of fear in them like that. It's probably happened to the majority of us that have children. Somewhere along the line, we have misplaced one of the young'uns. Mary and Joseph got into the caravan of people that was going back home. I don't know how many of them there were. It was family. It was friends. And they thought that Jesus was with them. They supposing that he was in the company. That makes me think about Samson. He wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. Now, I'm sure that as a mother, those of you would be thinking, well, probably the whole way, the whole trip, she was, Joseph, stop and let's find him. Oh, he's here somewhere. well, Joseph, I just don't feel good about this. Let's stop and look for him. Make sure that he's here. Oh, come on, Mary. He's just with his cousins. But they went a whole day's journey. If that's what happened, I'm sure that Joseph was in the doghouse for a while after that. If that's not the way it happened, maybe it was both of them, Mary and Joseph, both, that really felt the personal grief at what they had allowed to take place. We went off and left our son. We were on vacation one time a number of years ago. Janae was just little. I did not ask her permission to talk about this, but forgiveness is easier than permission. I don't remember when it was. I think it was one of the earliest gifts that Janae received as a little child, this little bitty doll baby stuffed with stuff, soft. She loved that baby. She slept with it every night. As a matter of fact, she still sleeps with it every night. But we were on vacation a number of years ago. and she was just a toddler, I believe. She wasn't really terribly old yet, but somehow we misplaced that baby doll and I think it was on the way home, and someone said, "Oh, Sally is at the motel."
Daddy.
No, we're not going back for Sally. We got home, and the phone call was made to the motel. "Did you find a baby doll? We'll pay you whatever to mail it to us." You see, it was an important part of her life. It's been restuffed, it's been washed and restuffed and washed and restuffed. That was just for a baby doll. Moms probably more so than the dads. But can you imagine the feeling that was in that little girl's heart as she realized that Daddy was not going to turn around and go back and get that baby doll? It meant a lot to her. And then the day that it came in the mail. Oh, the exuberance. She could sleep through the night now. Maybe I'm making up a little bit more than what was really there, but I can't help but think that Mary and Joseph both had that same flutter in their heart as they came to the realization, as it sunk in, that they had gone through that whole company of people, among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Have you seen Jesus? When was the last time you saw him? I don't remember. I can't. Have you seen Jesus? No. When was the last time you saw him? I don't know. The most unlikely people, the most unlikely person, his mother was the very first one to lose him. You say, well, what is so important about that? It's this very statement. You may get very close to Jesus, and you may lose him. That is what is so startling about this passage. I may get very close to him. His mother was as close to him as anybody. I may get as close to Jesus as possible, very, very close to him, and yet I may lose him. The second thing that is startling about this is that she lost him in the most unlikely of places. Do you see that significance? She lost him where most people go to find him. In the temple or the house of God. You know, we can come to church every Sunday, two times on Sunday. We can come to Sunday school before church on Sunday. We can come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We can hit every night of revival. And I hope that you do. and we can still lose him. You know, we could even pray every day and read many chapters every day so that we can report in on Sunday how many chapters we've read and still lose him. It's been a number of years ago now since I've been in Bible college, but I can remember one of my favorite professors telling us, he said, I used to believe that if you read your Bible every day and you prayed every day that you would never backslide. He said, I've come to the conclusion that that's not true. Because we can get in such a rut reading and praying the same thing every single day. That we lose out spiritually. Losing him and don't even know it. Supposing that he's in the company. Just for a side note, out of the basic context of this story, what is the use of us supposing that he's in the company? What good is it if we suppose? Oh, I've got confidence in so many of you. The longer I'm here learning you, the more I see the confidence builds. It's wonderful to learn people and be able to build that confidence. But in the midst of the building of that confidence, well, you know, I don't really have to spend as much time because I know that so-and-so really knows God, and as long as they're in service, God will be there. That's a danger that we have, supposing him to be in the company. You know, it wasn't too long ago that we went around the sanctuary here asking various ones, how long have you been saved? And we heard 30s and 40s and 50s, and I believe that there was some up in the 60s, somewhere around the 70 mark. 70 years of serving the Lord. That is so incredible to me. I'm just a kid compared to that. As long as they're in our services, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, revival after revival, then I don't have to do as much work. I don't have to be as careful. I don't have to be as particular to make sure that God comes to church with me. Supposing him to be in the company. When in reality, we don't have any use for supposing or for supposition. What we need is to have the real thing, the knowledge for ourselves individually, personally, not just the older folk, but all the way down, every single one of us doing our part to make sure that he's in the company. All else is empty without him. Everything else is useless without him. But there's also something in the midst of these two startling aspects that bring about a ray of sunlight. She found him right where she lost him. When we lose out, if we lose out, if there's a stumble, if there's a rut that is developed and we find ourselves cold in our heart, or as some of the terminology has been in the past, backslidden at heart, we can go right back to where we lost him and find him again. It took her 3 days. Now, I don't know when that 3 days began to count. Was the first day that they were traveling away from Jerusalem one of the three? And then one day back? I dare say it only took them half a day to get back, but that's besides the point. It was on the third day, somewhere along the line. Maybe it was the third day back in Jerusalem. Maybe it was the third day after they found out for sure that he wasn't there. But at any rate, they found him. And where did they find him? They found him right basically where they left him. They were there to worship. They were there to serve God in the temple in the midst of the feast days. And lo and behold, there it was. We don't have to tramp back 3 days. We don't have to struggle around and try to find Him unless we want to. We can go right back to where we lost Him. I know that we as Christians believe that we have it all together when it comes to the Christmas season. We have our program and a great time of reflecting it was and reminiscing it was to be able to hear and to see and to participate. It was wonderful last night. But we still have just a few days left before Christmas, and I dare say that for all of our lives, this week coming is going to be one of a very busy schedule. Men, how many of you still have your shopping yet to begin? Christmas Eve's coming. And all the buys are gone. Pay top dollar for everything now. This week can be so busy that we can lose sight of Him. I'm not asking for a raise of hands or a showing of hands, but how many have already lost Him in the busyness of the schedule? Yeah, I kept up with my Bible reading, I kept up with praying, but the rut was still there. Failed to have that personal communion and relationship with Him that He wants, that He longs for. I lost Him in the midst of all of this excitement and the celebration of Christ coming. You can find Him right where you lost Him. We don't have to lose Him, though. What would have happened? How would the story have changed had she not lost Him? Had she kept His hand in her hand and led Him home? Well, we would have lost that story out of the Scriptures. And we would probably have not had in there that next few verses where Jesus went home with them and was subject unto them. That's a good subject for youth revival. Jesus, even after this was over with, He went home and was subject unto them. Well, we might have lost those things. We might not have had those texts in there. But wouldn't it have been better had we never lost Him in the first place? How much further up the road Mary and Joseph would have been? May God help me to not lose sight of the Savior. And you can say that for yourselves, that we keep our mind and our heart focused upon really what all this is about. Jesus Christ reconciling man to God. Let's stand together.